Good morning. Welcome to Noble Assembly of God. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. Let's stand and worship this morning. Amen.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade. Never enough. Then you came along, put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. You've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Is the God of the mountain, is the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
That there's nothing better than Jesus. Amen. 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 There is nothing better than Jesus, not even a 4-overtime victory over the Texas Longhorns. Although it felt pretty good. It felt pretty good watching Noble run up and down the field this Friday. It felt pretty good just having a wonderful weekend of great weather. How many of you are enjoying this weather? Amen. Amen. There's nothing better, though, than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And no matter what else happened, even if OU had lost, and even if Noble had stumbled, even if other things had happened, if we'd had rain the whole time, we still would be coming out ahead, because there's nothing better than being with Jesus. And so would you just join me in prayer as we just meet the Lord right now? Lord, we meet you in this place, and we thank you, God, that you have come here to worship with us. And Lord, whether we're standing here in the sanctuary, or whether we're sitting on our couch, or we're somewhere else watching online today, Lord, we're joining together, Lord, as one body of believers, one church family, to celebrate a relationship with the one true Creator. And Lord, there's nothing better than that. No riches, no glory, no fame, nothing we could ever have that would be as great as being with you. And so we just thank you for what you're going to do in the coming moments of this service. We thank you, Lord, how you're going to speak to our heart. We thank you, Lord, how you're going to lift our spirits as we lift up our voices in your name and praise. Lord, we ask right now that you would be in this place. You would meet us right here, because there's nothing better than that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated in the sanctuary this morning. It's good to see your smiling faces. I'm seeing a few faces I hadn't seen in a while, and glad to worship with you. If there's one thing that's been consistent about this time of COVID and everything, is the inconsistency of it. And so it's good to, you never know. You never know who you're going to get to worship with in person, who's going to be watching at home. But we thank you for being here. I want to thank you if you're a guest this morning. Thanks for being here and being a part of our worship today. If you're a guest, we'd ask right now that you would just take the card that's in the seat back in front of you. Would you fill that out? That gives us a record of your attendance and just lets us know that you came to hang out with us today and worship with us. And we want to thank you again for doing so. And then if you'll take that card and just place it in the offering bag that'll pass in a little bit, that will help us immensely. Well, we've got lots of announcements, and I'm going to try to go through them very, very quickly. First of all, today is Communion Sunday, and Pastor, I'm sure, will tell you this later, but we welcome anybody who has a relationship with Jesus Christ to join in today at the end in communion. And so if you have a relationship with Jesus, we say go for it. You don't have to be a formal member or anything like that, and we're excited. We take communion once a month here, and just a way for us to honor and remember the sacrifice. And it was a sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we want to continue to challenge you to fast and pray. You know, this past month we were doing a fasting emphasis, but you know what? You don't have to have an emphasis to do it. All right. So be fasting and praying as the election comes up and our country's making lots of different decisions. And we want the Lord's wisdom and direction and all of that. Amen. 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 If you have not, if maybe as I told you, there was the inconsistency of us being able, some of us were here, you know, this week, but maybe not next week. And for like my family, we missed a couple weeks. We missed the whole missions convention because of being in quarantine. Maybe that was you too. And if that's the case, but you'd still like to give a faith promise towards our missions, this is the card. They're on the back there by the sound booth. You can fill that out. You'll take this part right here and keep it and give the other part to Pastor or myself. And it's just a way for us to know that we as a family have kind of made his faith promise towards our missions giving for the next 6 months. And so if you missed out on that, but you want to join in with us, those cards are back there, and we'd love for you to be a part of all that we're doing for missions. Speaking of missions and outreach, we have Hallelujah Night coming up. It's only a couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks from now. We're going to do it on the 29th, not the 31st, because the 31st is on a Saturday, and that would be too hard to turn the building back around for Sunday. We use all the sanctuary building in here. This year, we're also planning on using the zone room, and if the weather holds up, I'm enjoying this warm weather. Let's hope it holds for a couple more weeks. We're going to use part of the parking lot, too, for our inflatables, and give a little more space. I think that would be a good idea for all of the people who come and are a part of our Halloween outreach that we call Hallelujah Night. And you can be a part part of that, all right? There's several ways. Number one, you can give pick up candy at the store and put it in our bucket out there. It takes lots and lots of candy to put on this outreach. Also, you can sign up out there to bring, there's some hot dogs and chips and other things that we give as kind of snacks during that night. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you can bring those and donate those. And then also, we need lots of people who sign up and say, you know what, I'll work that day. I'll come, I'll greet people, I'll sign people in, I'll work a game, or I'll supervise an inflatable. That is, now listen, you got to be ready if you're going to supervise an inflatable. There's lots of opportunities, though, to serve, and we would love for all of you to join in as we are the face of Jesus to our community. We have had lots and lots of, Pastor, I don't know if you have, but I've gotten several messages, either through our Facebook, church Facebook, or through my own private cell phone, asking if we're going to do the Halloween outreach and Hallelujah Night. And so we have a community that's still looking forward to that, and we want to be here and do that, and we're going to do it in the wisest, safest way possible, and yet still have the ability to reach out and touch our community. Amen? Amen. One last thing I want to, or two things I want to emphasize. First of all, this Wednesday is when our Wednesdays begin again. That's Roar Rangers, Girls Ministry, the Adult Service, and Youth Service. So starting this Wednesday, we go back to Wednesdays. And then November 1st, the beginning of November, is when all the other Sunday activities begin again. That would be Sunday school, evening service, connect groups. That's all written down here in your bulletin, but just want to kind of bring some clarification for that. And then last but not least, we have Youth Fest, which is our youth convention. It's actually happening next weekend, and today is the deadline to sign up. So if you're going to go to Youth Fest, you need to come find me before you leave church today, because I've got to do the registration for that. And if you want more information about that, there's a sign up out there, plus I'll be here to talk to you about that. All right, at this time, put your hands together. We're going to have a baby dedication.
Amen. And it is my privilege today to get to dedicate my youngest granddaughter. And so if they would make their way up here, Cammie and Jared Rowland. Cammie's our oldest daughter, and they have three children, Paxton and Jace and baby Brindley. Jared is also the son of Debbie Rowland, who's one of our members here. And so we were going to do this next week, but as many of you know, Carol's daddy passed away this week on Thursday, and we had his funeral yesterday. And so Cammie and Jared and their family came up for the funeral, of course, and wanted to come ahead and do the dedication today. And so they won't be here next Sunday as we had originally planned. And so Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, it says about the Lord and his relationship with children. It says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on their heads, and blessed them. And so we're going to dedicate baby Brindley today, Brindley Faith Rowland, to the Lord. And as I said, this is my son-in-law Jared, my daughter Cammie, Paxton, Jace, and Roland. Paxton's 5, and Jace will be 3 in about 3 months. And Brindley will be 4 months on Friday, I believe, this week, on the 16th. Now, isn't she a doll? I know I'm probably biased, as I should be, correct? Yes, Brindley Faith Rowland. Brindley was my mother's maiden name, my grandma Brindley. And Cammie always said she loved that name Brindley. And if she ever was blessed with a little girl, oh no. They never do this. I'm sorry, Brinley. Well, we better make this fast. Anyway, that she was going to name her Brinley. So I know the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Oh. Oh, what's the matter, baby? What's the matter? Don't you want to be here with Papa? She's looking for Mama, I think. Why don't you take her? We're going to do this a tad different. There. Yeah. You know, I've only... Is this only the second time I've seen her since she was born? Third time. Okay, I couldn't remember. Anyway, it hadn't been much. So she doesn't know her awesome grandpa very well yet. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Brinley Faith today. We thank you, Lord, for her life and for her family, her mom and daddy and her brothers. And we just pray over her. We pray that you would bless her all the days of her life and that she would give her heart to you early and that she would serve you all the days of her life, that you would keep your hand upon her and keep her healthy. Lord, that she would grow up to be a woman of God, a woman who loves you and serves you, and that you direct the right spouse into her life. If the world is still as it is, Lord, and you've not come back to take us home to be with in heaven with you, Lord, I just pray that you would just guide and direct her steps all the days of her life. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll let you get a little Bible and then certificate. So.
Bless you guys. All right. I'm going to give you five. Give me five.
All right. Thank you, guys. It's wonderful to have families in our church. My only regret is they don't live closer. But you know what? We all have a plan. God has a plan of where we work and what we do and where we live. And he's the one that orders our steps. So we're always glad when Cammie and Jared and their family can come and be with us. We're going to go back to worship at this time. So if the worship team would come, stand up and put your hands together and give God a hand of praise this morning. Say, Lord, we praise you. We love you, Lord, today. Hallelujah.
I worship you. You are
promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You're our way maker, Jesus. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you're a promise keeper. God, you're the light in the darkness, Jesus. We glorify your name, Jesus. God, and we just want more of you, Jesus. We want you to be so much in our hearts and in our lives, God, that we're the light in the darkness as we walk this earth, as we walk through Walmart, God, as we walk through the halls of our schools, as we walk through our homes, Jesus, to our children, our families, God, that we're your light. God, that we're your light. Jesus, we glorify your name. This world could never satisfy the longing in my soul when all is lost and hope is dry. All I feel is cold. I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. 'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Embrace me. Coming back to your presence.
Lord, we need you today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here today in this service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray with me this morning for the Carolla family. This is Carol's family. It's good to have her sister Connie and her husband Randy and their son Gabe and their daughter Krisha from Albuquerque, New Mexico, with us today. Give them a hand for being here this morning. It's also good to have my parents, mom and dad, here today from Enid. We're glad they're here today. Amen. Yes. Amen. Jared, is your aunt and uncle here? Is Rick and Diane here? Okay. I missed that. Well, anyway, but remember the Carolla family. We had a wonderful memorial service yesterday. Carol's dad, who was 86, passed away early Thursday morning. I have to tell this little thing here. He always said on family vacations, anytime the family was going, so we're leaving at 4:30 in the morning. Everybody be sharp, be in the car, because we are headed out. If you're not there, well, you're in trouble. So every vacation was 4:30 in the morning. And guess what time the Lord took him home on Thursday morning? 4:30 in the morning. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's divine providence. So anyway, just remember to pray for them. Remember Diana Holder. This is Sandra Caldwell's sister-in-law, Reverend Tom Holder's wife. She had surgery, had to take out a portion of her colon, and so she still needs healing. Missionary Mark Fitzgerald, still fighting this virus. Man, he is the one person out of those that are still living that has contacted the virus that has just had such a battle. I know many have passed away, but a lot of people have recovered. But he is one that he hasn't passed away, and he's still fighting. And, man, he is just having such a time. So we want to pray for Mark Fitzgerald. And then Sharon Graham's mother went to be with the Lord this last week, and so we want to pray for her. So, Father, we do pray for the Carolla family. We just pray that you would be with Carol's mom. I pray that you just comfort her and her brothers and sisters, Lord, and all the family. We just pray that you would be with them. We thank you that Grandpa Al is with you today. We do pray for Diana Holder, that you would touch her, that you would heal her, and Missionary Mark Fitzgerald. Lord, touch him and heal him and raise him up. Lord, he has a great work to do. And we just pray for him. And we pray for comfort for Sharon's family today. Her and her brother, Lord, and saying goodbye to this mama of 90 years. Lord, she was a believer all of her life, loved you and served you. And thank you for the wonderful example that she has set for her kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And so, Lord, just bless her family today. Lord, and touch our country. We continue to pray over our nation. We pray over this election in 3 weeks. We just pray, Lord, that righteousness and truth would prevail. That's our prayer. And that's what we're going to be praying for and fasting for over the next 3 weeks, is that righteousness and truth will prevail. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I was supposed to receive the offering a while ago, so if the ushers would come, we will do that before we preach. I forgot that and all of what was happening. And so thank you for your giving today. And of course, you can still give online. Of course, you can give here. And if you're watching online and not able to get out, give us a call. We'll come by and pick up your offering if that is easier for you. So, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Thank you for the faithful givers and tithers that's a part of this church family. And we just pray that you would bless both the gift and the giver today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Don, for playing. Last Sunday, we talked about water baptism in a message that I entitled Water Baptism Is. We had 10 people baptized. Wasn't that an awesome day? Amen. Give the Lord a hand for those 10. Today we're going to be talking about communion in a message entitled Communion Is. And I believe both of these sacraments is what they're called in our foundation of doctrinal statement and fundamental truths and all. We have two sacraments, as most churches do, water baptism and communion. And I believe that both of these are vital components to a vibrant Christian faith. That's what we want, right? How many of you want a vibrant Christian faith? We don't want something that's dead, something that's lifeless and boring. We want a vibrant Christian faith. Amen? A vibrant faith is passed on and makes a difference in the following generations. But a lifeless faith doesn't have much of an impact. And many times it has a negative impact on the following generations. So church, we want to have a vibrant, dynamic faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So let's talk about communion today. Why do we do it? What is its purpose and its benefits? And those are going to be some of the questions we're going to try to answer over the next few minutes in this message entitled Communion Is. And so, with the Holy Spirit's help and anointing, we're going to do that. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today and we ask for your help and your anointing as we preach today the message about this vital component to our faith, and that is the observance of Holy Communion. And I pray for your help, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to hearts today. Those here in the sanctuary, those watching online, Lord, there's no distance to the power of the Holy Spirit. And we just pray that your will be done in all of our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Going to begin reading at verse number 23 down through verse 32. Paul is giving some instructions about public worship, about communion. And so in beginning in verse 23, he says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world." Amen. This morning, I want to look at four reasons that we celebrate and observe communion, also known as the Lord's Supper. And so, first of all, communion is, number one, a time to remember. A time to remember. Jesus said, "Do this to what? Remember me." Do this to remember me. Like water baptism, Jesus said, "Do it." Amen? He said, this is what I want you to do about water baptism. He said, I want you to do this. About communion, I want you to do this. You know, if the Lord tells us to do something, there must be a pretty good reason why. Like we as parents, when we tell our children to do something, we just don't tell them to do something for whatever reason. We usually have a pretty good reason why they should or shouldn't do whatever we're telling them. And so we need to remember because the Lord said so. And we also need to go back and remember what Jesus did and is doing in our lives because it helps us to remember what he did. It helps us to remember how he was tortured and how he was bruised and how he was whipped and how he was ultimately nailed to a cross, the worst type of punishment and of death imaginable at the time. He did all of that for our salvation. He bled and died for you. His blood was for you. I thought about this. If those who say this bud's for you would actually be saying this blood's for you, there would be a whole big difference in our society, I believe. This blood is for you. Listen to me. If you had been the only one on this earth, he still would have went to the cross and died for you. He loves you as a person. He cares about you, everything involved in your life. He loves you. He would have gone to the cross and he would have paid the price for your sin. What is the wages of sin? Death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so sin's wages are going to be paid one way or another. Either you're going to pay it or Jesus is going to pay it. You get to choose. Am I going to pay the wages for sin, which is death? Or am I going to let Jesus pay the wages of sin, which is already done? All you have to do is receive it and accept it and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. You shed your blood for me. I thank you, Lord. My sins are washed away. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I am a child of God. Hallelujah. And he makes a change in us, and he continues all through our life to make that change. And so we have to decide who pays, us or Jesus. I've never thought of this one before. To remember means you have heard and experienced the good news already. I mean, think about it. You can't remember something that you don't know. You know? You can't remember something that you have no knowledge of. And so this is important for two reasons. Number one, we must get the gospel out so that people can know that Jesus did die on the cross, that Jesus did shed his blood for them, and that he did die to save them and pay the penalty and the wages for their sin. People need to know that. And that's why we have missions. And that's why we support missions. And that's why we have outreaches like we're going to have here on Hallelujah Night. And that's why we tell people about Jesus so they can remember it. They can't remember it if they don't know it. And then secondly, communion is for believers. As Pastor Phil mentioned earlier, our communion is open to anyone who's a believer. You don't have to be a formal member of this church. You can be visiting today as my brother and sister-in-law from New Mexico. And they're believers, I believe. No, I'm kidding. They are. I'm just teasing them. Yes, they're wonderful believers. They love the Lord. And at the end of the service, they're going to join in communion. They're not members here, but they are welcome to do that. I was just picking on them. Thank the Lord for what he has done for us. We get to celebrate and remember how and when and why we got saved, or what we call being born again. How many of you are thankful that you are born again? Amen. Do you remember your salvation experience? Do you remember when you got saved? Jimbo, you remember when you got saved? How old were you, Jim? You were probably little, right? A child? Yeah. I put him on the spot. He didn't know I was going to do that. Dad, you remember when you got saved? About how old were you? 21. I've told that story in the church here. You see, I was born into an ungodly home. They got saved when I was a baby and started going to Main Church of the Nazarene in Enid, Oklahoma, so that at one point in one of those services, I could go down to the altar and give my heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll stop. I won't pick on anybody else. They were just right in my line of fire right there. I trust you can remember, even if you don't know the exact time. I don't know the exact date. I just know I was 8 or 9 because I was raised in church there. I don't remember the exact date. But some people, they can tell you the exact date on the calendar, the moment they got saved. And that's awesome. The point is, were you saved? Do you have a salvation experience to celebrate and to remember? I hope you do. And if you don't, yours can be today. You can believe today, amen? You can leave here and say, on October the 11th, 2020, I gave my heart to Jesus. And you can write that down in your journal. So we not only remember Christ's sacrifice and his offer of salvation, I believe one of the things that we're also supposed to do is remember our acceptance of that offer. We not only remember what he offered, but we remember when we accepted that offer. Every month our mind goes back when we come and take these elements. We remember back of what he did and the time we accepted it. And we received him. And our sins were washed away and our name was put in the book and our life was changed. We went from being dead to being alive. We went from being an old to being a new creature. Now the Lord still works on us all the way till we get to heaven. We're a work in progress. We are set apart and sanctified at the moment, but we are also sanctified in progressive stages all the way until we get to see Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. How many of you are thankful that you're a work in progress? Amen. I am too. I'm thankful that I'm a work in progress. I know I'm not perfect. I know I make mistakes. I know I don't always think exactly and say exactly what the Lord would have me to say. But I try. And by God's grace, he says, you're all right, buddy. You're all right. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're all right. You're all right. If you know Jesus, you're all right. You're all right. So we not only remember Christ's sacrifice and his offer, we also remember our acceptance of that offer, which leads to point number two. Communion is a time to reflect. It's not only a time to remember, it's a time to reflect, which I know that's very close in meaning, to reflect upon your own experience with the Lord. Let me ask you today, how are you and the Lord doing today? Don't answer me out loud. You don't have to do that. But in your heart, how are you and Jesus doing? Are you good? Everything good? Or everything not so good? You haven't really been living and walking the way you should. And see, it's important for us to examine ourselves and to go back to the text that we read in Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. Let me read this again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And he says, that is why many of you are weak and sick and some have died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. The world is going to be condemned one day. They're going to be judged. But if you know Jesus and you've given your heart to him and you've walked with him, you won't be condemned with the world. You'll celebrate a continual feast of joy and praise in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. I believe this examination of our lives when we are fixing to receive these communion elements not only includes our relationship with the Lord that we should examine, but hear me, listen to this, but also our relationship with the body or with one another. You see, we at the church are the body of Christ. And so we need to keep harmony and unity within the body and among relationships. And so it's not only a time of examining your relationship with the Lord vertically, it's also, I believe, a time to examine the Lord and your relationship with one another horizontally. When we don't care about any hurt feelings or bitterness that we may have in our hearts toward another believer, here's what happens. We bring judgment upon ourselves. And we hurt the body. Amen? That's what it says. Bitterness and unforgiveness is a poison that affects us more than the person we are having aught against. It's like taking poison and waiting for them to die. Giving them poison and waiting for them to die. We are the one who dies and jeopardizes our future life and walk with the Lord. Because the Lord says, hey, if you don't forgive men their offenses, I'm not going to forgive you. So communion is a time that we examine our relationships with other people. Is there somebody in the church that I just can't stand that guy? He makes me or she makes me so mad. I mean, hey, none of us are perfect. We all sometimes get on one another's nerves. The more you work with people, you're going to see they're good and they're bad and all that. But I'm telling you, if you have bitterness or odd in your heart, and you can't even stand to be in the same room with them, then when you come to the communion table, that ought to be something you take care of and say, Lord, I know that's not right. This has very important a part of my life was around this very same thing. And I've told you this story before. When I was 19 years old, I had aught bitterness in my heart against the dean of students at the college that I was going to. They had made some decisions that I didn't think were right. And lo and behold, I come home from my freshman year of college, and the pastor, as I'm home that summer, says, hey, we're having revival, and guess who the evangelist is? It was the dean of students. I thought, great. I can't stand the guy. But in our home that I grew up in, it was no option whether you were going to church or not. I couldn't say, Dad, I don't really want to go. He'd say, you're going. I'm 19. I can do what I want. Not in my house. You're going to church. It was kind of like that. We just went. So I'm sitting back. I'm thinking, what's he going to say? You know, I didn't really care. My mind was not in the service because I didn't like the guy that was preaching. At this time, I was not going into the ministry. I was going to be an accountant. My degree was not even anywhere near ministry. But at the altar call, he invited everybody down. I'm thinking, okay, I'll go down to the altar. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing me to be here. I don't want to be here. But the Holy Spirit started working. Pretty soon, I was crying. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, said, Steve, you need to go apologize to the dean. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't have that in my heart. I know it's wrong. I'm sorry, God. We're good. He says, no, you go apologize to the dean. But God, he doesn't even know I feel this way. I'm just a peon freshman. He has no idea that I feel this way about him. Can we just take care of it right here? Just you and me, we're good. You know how we bargain with God sometimes. Can we just handle this here? No. You go back and you tell him. just get up right now from the altar, Steve, and go talk to him. Because I was at this altar, and he was over here. So I went up to him, and I'm crying. And then I really break down. I'm crying. Oh, brother Cox. His name was Dennis Cox. Oh, Lord Jesus. He has put on my heart that I need to ask forgiveness from you because I have had bitterness in my heart over some decisions a school made, and I'm sorry. I know you don't even have any idea that I even feel this way, but I know, and I am so sorry. Please forgive me for these bad feelings I've had against you in the school. He put my arm around Steve. That's good. You're fine. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now you can go back down and pray. And as soon as I knelt back down and prayed, the Lord said, good job, Steve. Now I want you to be a minister. I want you to change your major, Steve Lance, from business to ministry. You just passed the test. So my whole future for the last 35, nearly 40 years now. Well, that was in 80. That was the summer of 1980, 40 years. Was affected by that decision to be obedient to the Lord, which was because I had bitterness and ought in my heart. See, it can make powerful changes when we obey the Lord. Thank the Lord. He knows what he's doing. So always, always at communion, ask the Holy Spirit to shine his big, powerful spotlight on your heart, to expose any hidden sins or wrong motives or bitterness that might be there. Say, God, if there's any person that I need to forgive, let me go and do that. If there's any person that I have ought against, that I don't like, and that I have bitterness, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker, maybe a fellow student, Lord, forgive me and help me to go and make it right. I believe that's a part of communion. That's that time to reflect, which leads me to number three. It's also a time to repent. Not only a time to remember and to reflect, but all that leads many times to a time to repent. That's exactly what happened to me. It was a time to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. You see, church, repentance is a key and vital component for growing and walking with the Lord and walking into what he has for you. Your bitterness might not be against somebody else. Your bitterness might be at God himself. God, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you allowed that to happen, Lord. I don't know. People say, why does bad things happen to good people? I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of answers that I don't have when people talk to me at times. I don't know. I just have to say, I don't know. But I trust that God is good, that God loves me, that he sees the end from the beginning, and he knows what needs to happen and why. And one of these days when we get to heaven, we can ask him. However, I don't think we will really care at that point. I think we'll just be, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me through. Thank you for leading me through this tour on earth and allowing me to get home to heaven. Repentance is a turning away from going one way and going another. If I'm walking this way and I repent of walking this way, it means I turn 180 degrees and I go the other way. That's what repentance is. Returning away from the sinful habits or the sinful motives or the desires or the victory-robbing issues in our hearts. Satan likes to plant victory-robbing things in our hearts, where he can just take you down, take you out, and mess up your day. Don't let him do it. Jesus and John, or Jesus, excuse me, had John send letters to seven churches in the book of Revelation that talk about repentance. I'm going to look at them real fast. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, listen to this. He's talking to different churches. This one is the church at Ephesus. He says, but I have this complaint against you. This is written in red. Jesus said it. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Talk about the body. Love him or each other. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't, what? Repent. I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. And then in the next, the third church in Pergamum, he writes this in verse 14. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who are following the same teaching. Verse 16, repent. Repent of your sin, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Then the next church in Thyatira in verse 20, he says, but I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they what? Repent and turn away from their evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one. Listen to this. I have this underlined in my Bible. I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person. And I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. I want to tell you, God knows what's on the inside of us. Not just what we say. God knows the intentions, the motives, and the thoughts that maybe nobody else does, that's in our hearts. But Jesus says, repent. To the church at Sardis in Revelation 3, he says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from one who has the sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you have heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. And finally, to the church at Laodicea in verse 19 of chapter 3, I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn away from your indifference. That word, turn away, is the same as meaning to what? Repent. Repent. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Jesus came preaching repentance. The disciples and the apostles preached repentance. The early church all down through the church preached repentance. Listen to this. There's a star by this. It means you got to really listen. Repentance is the corrective action to incorrect actions and attitudes that can destroy your life. Repentance is the corrective action to incorrect actions and attitudes that can destroy your life. Remember, Jesus said he disciplines those he loves. And finally, number four, it's not only a time to remember, a time to reflect, a time to repent. Fourthly, it's a time to reject. Say, reject? What are you talking about? Reject Christ? Of course not. It's a time to reject. Listen here. It's a time to reject any and all of Satan's temptations to destroy you and your family. Come to this altar and say, Jesus, I am coming against all temptation and people that are bringing those temptations to destroy my faith and my family. I'm drawing a line in the sand. They are not going to succeed. I'm following you. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. It's a time to reject all Satan's temptations. It's also a time to reject all feelings of inferiority and inadequacy for whatever gifts, talents, and ministry God has given you, only that you depend upon Christ. It's a time to reject the feelings, well, I'm nothing, I'm just a worm, I guess I'm going to crawl in the ground and die. It's a time to reject any and all ideas that prayer is useless and that God doesn't care or listen to the cries of your heart. It's time to reject that. It's time to reject any and all feelings that you may not be loved, cared about, or wanted in God's family. It's time to reject any and all ideas that God can't use you to make a difference in this world. Yes, He can. It's also a time to reject the idea that you are too bad and too far gone to be saved and of any use to God. It's time to reject that. Or that your family cannot all, everybody say all be saved. What did Paul tell the Philippian jailer in Acts 16? He said, believe on the Lord, the Bible says, and you will be saved. You will be saved along with everyone in your household. All saved. How many of you want to see all your family saved? When I get to heaven, I don't want anyone missing. I've always wondered when the Lord says there's no tears in heaven, but if somehow there was somebody close to me that wasn't there, how could I not be sad? I'll pick on Caleb. What if I get up to heaven and I know I had a son on earth. Where's Caleb? Where's Caleb? If I couldn't find him, I'll give you $5 for this. I'll buy your lunch. If I can't find him, my heart's going to be sad. So, Lord, how can you say there's no sadness or sorrow in heaven? Because I couldn't find my son, I would be so sad. So I don't know the answer to that. It's one of those I don't know questions. I don't know. Maybe the Lord will just wipe Caleb's memory completely out of my brain and I would never, ever remember that I had a son named Caleb. I don't know how it's going to happen. Believe me, I don't want to know how it's going to happen. All I want to know is that Caleb and Cammy and Kelsey and all my grandchildren and all of you, your family, and you are all going to be there and nobody is missing. We need to reject the idea that our family can't be saved and start confessing, Lord, the Word says if I have a son or a daughter that's not ready and is not living for you, God, I believe Acts 16 and verse 31 that says, believe on the Lord and you and your house will be saved. Lord, I stand on that scripture. I pray the blood of Jesus over my son or my daughter. I claim them for you. Devil, you can't have them. You get out in the name of Jesus of their life. It's time to quit listening to what the devil says and start declaring what God's word says. Amen. The devil's a liar, the father of lies. And Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Come on, let's feel the airwaves. Everybody say it with me at the count of three. Jesus is Lord. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. In conclusion, as the musicians come, in a few moments we're going to receive communion, but as they're coming, let me just remind you and review. Communion is a time to remember, as Jesus said, remember me. It's a time to reflect on your relationship with God and your relationship with others. Is everything good between you and God? Is everything good between you and other members of the body? Do you need to go and ask somebody to forgive you? You say, I would, Pastor, but man, I'll be called to the preach after that. No, that was just my story. I don't know what would happen with you. He would call you to go to the deepest, darkest African jungle. No. Now, it doesn't matter what, if your heart's right, you'd say, God, wherever and whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. So it's a time to reflect. Thirdly, it really, before we receive this every month and not just today, it's a time to repent. Say, Lord, I've messed up. I've held on to some things in my heart that aren't right. I've had some feelings against you or against others that's not right. God, I don't want that to be there. I want to have a clear, clean conscience. Then fourthly, it's a time to reject all those things that I was talking about. Inferiority. You can't be saved. You're too far gone. Whatever. Whatever it is. Reject. When you come to the table, it's a time to do those things. Remember, reflect, repent, and reject. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are so awesome to speak to us, and you know right where we are. You know what's in our heart. You know what's there. And you know what we struggle with. And you know what trips us up. And God, we ask forgiveness. We repent of things that should not be, because we want to be sure that we're going to be in heaven. We want to be sure that all is good. We want to hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Good job." Lord, we want to hear you say that. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now. How many would say, "Pastor Steve, I don't know right now if I would hear the Lord say, well done. And I want to turn from that today." Would you just lift up your hand and say, "That's me. That's me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." Really, in a sense, it could be all of us, because all of us say and do things that we know the Lord is not pleased with. Can we do something before we receive communion? Because I want you, as we receive communion, to do it with a clear conscience. Would you just, in your heart right now, and with your mouth, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of repentance. Would you just pray with me? And the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we'll be saved and we'll be cleansed. So if you really, truly want to be set free and you want this day to go down as a day of a memorable day, a day that you'll always remember, if you pray this and you know this, and you believe this with your heart, then that will happen as we pray together. So everybody, say this with me, and don't just say it to say it. Say it because you mean it. Everybody say this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you. I know I have fallen short. I know I have messed up. I know things have not always been right, but I repent. I turn from that today, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. Give me a clean heart, because I want to hear you say, "Well done. Thank you, Jesus." Amen. Amen. Maybe you prayed that prayer in here or online for the first time. Congratulations. Jesus looked over and said, "Put that person's name in the Lamb's book right now. They are a child of God." Lord, we thank you for that today. We thank you for heaven has a party when people get saved. And Lord, you are thrilled when even some of your children that maybe get off in the faraway land come back home like the prodigal. And you threw your arms around them. You loved them, and you put a robe on their back and a ring on their finger, and you celebrated because your son or your daughter who was dead and away from you and in a far off land has come back home. So we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your amazing, amazing grace that keeps us on the right track. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Like for those who are going to be serving communion, our ushers, if they would come. The worship team is going to sing a song while we receive these elements. And when you get the little piece of bread and the little bit of grape juice in your hand, if you would just hold it there. And do what we talked about. Just reflect on your relationship with God. Remember Christ, and maybe you need to repent again, even though I led you in a prayer of repentance. And just hold that, and then all at the same time, we're going to take this together as an act of consecration, as an act of remembrance to what Jesus has done in our life.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle.
Praise forever to the King of Kings.
When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink of wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my blood, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Would you hold the bread in your hand? Lord, this bread represents your body. Your body that was broken, that was spit on, that was pierced, that ultimately was nailed to the cross. Your body that took upon itself the sins of the world. Thank you, Lord, that my sin was upon you. Thank you, Lord, for the sins of this congregation and those watching was upon you and all the world. Lord, we receive this bread now in remembrance of the sin that you carried to the cross and paid its wages. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive the bread today. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Father, we hold in our hands this cup that represents the blood of your only begotten Son. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for us, for going to the cross and dying and giving your life as a ransom, paying the penalty of our sins so that we don't have to. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't wait to see you again in heaven. We can't wait to see you and participate in that time of receiving this cup and bread again in heaven. At that banquet table, Lord, we receive this now in remembrance of you. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Just lift your hands to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Don, can we sing that song, Amazing Grace? I don't know what key we're in. Go to F or G or one of those. Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like grace.
verse now. Sing it out.
When we been there, 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We've no less days. Believer, we have Jesus in our heart, we're going to be alive a million years from now, and we'll be in our glorified body. We're going to have the best body we've ever had in our life. Hey, isn't that great, Jerry Freeman? We're going to have the best body. We're going to have hair. We're going to be buff. The girls are going to be awesome looking. Man, I tell you, not that you're not already, but you're going to be even better. What a time! This life is but a drop in the bucket. It's just tiny. Even if you live 86 years like my father-in-law, that compared to millions of years, that's just a tiny speck. We get all bent out of shape of things that happen, and things do happen in our lives here on this earth. Very real problems we face. But what is that compared to eternity in the presence of God, where everything is perfect and right forever, forever, forever? We'll see all of our loved ones again. I got some loved ones I can't wait to see again. I got some church members that's been a part of this church. I've been here 28 years. I got some church members that I'd love to see again. I can't wait to hear Brother Boykin say, "Steve, how you doing, buddy? What are you doing? Glad you made it. I had worried about you, but I'm glad you made it." Father God, thank you. Thank you for the joy we have of being children of God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together, allowing us to worship in spirit and in truth, allowing us to respond to the Word of God that's so powerful, and allowing us to remember the sacrifice that you made. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, and we can't wait to see you again. And everybody said, amen. Go with God. Have a great day.